There's my name. Almost called a stand-in. I'm from L.A., so. And Terry or myself don't have any, you know, relationships to disclose. So we received some money from CHRP, the California HIV-AIDS Research Program, a few years ago to do several innovative techniques for HIV prevention and also to help engage people in care more effectively. So this is highlighting one of the projects. It's part of our PATH PrEP initiative, and we're calling it social network testing. And we're identifying and recruiting people who don't normally test through normal sort of testing regimes, seeing if social networks can help them. This is an overarching sort of look at our entire PATH PrEP initiative that we've got. So social network testing is basically for high-risk persons. We went along the continuum of care, and we wanted to see where we could sort of beef up county programming along the way to increase our numbers of people who are either testing or linking to care or maintaining in care, ultimately to get viral load suppression. And part of this project, we do have a PrEP demonstration project, which is something that we're not ready to present on just yet. But if you could see, social network testing is basically to identify high-risk persons and get them tested. We're trying a chain referral sampling method, RDS, response-driven sampling in this case, to see if we can recruit high-level persons with high risk. We have a high-risk screener to make sure that we only identify high-risk individuals. So we want to sort of describe their sociodemographic testing histories, characteristics associated with persons who are positive, and then we want to do a cost-effective analysis of the overall effects of the study and whether or not we can incorporate it into, or elements of it, into our existing LA County Department of Public Health testing strategy. We've been actively enrolling for a while now. We're actually going to be completing in December, and we've got follow-ups to do for another 6 months. We screened about 350 people, and the language seed and alter that comes from those sort of response-driven sampling, snowball sampling studies. A seed is basically a person who's not necessarily a member of your target population, but they have sort of social access to your target population, so they're really seen as like entry-level recruiters. And then alters are individuals who are found, they're members of your target population, by the seeds, and then once they get in the program, you enroll them as recruiters, and it sort of snowballs. That's why they call it snowball sampling. It sort of snowballs, and you get multiple waves of recruitment. So this is what you would normally see in a response-driven sampling or a snowball sampling thing. You would see a small number of seeds and a high number of alters. We actually have only identified 4 new positives from this, so we have an overall positivity rate of 1.6. This is actually very close to the overall positivity rate for people who test at our clinics, publicly funded clinics in Los Angeles County, where our positivity rate is about 1.1. If you look at the breakdown of race and ethnicity, a high proportion of African Americans in both seeds and alters, and then Latinos. That's primarily due to the clinic location. It's located in Baldwin Hills, which is a heavily African American portion of Los Angeles, sort of in between South and West, for people who know LA. It's sort of sandwiched between there. Almost everybody is male. We did expand enrollment. Originally, it was only to be men who have sex with men. Then we expanded it to include females and transgendered individuals, and you can see we've enrolled a certain proportion of those as well. Very high proportions of homelessness, issues with insurance, incarceration status, and about 8% report being diagnosed with another STD in the last 12 months, a little bit of syphilis, a little bit of chlamydia, and a little bit of gonorrhea. That's very common. We're finding about 60% of syphilis-infected people in Los Angeles County are also co-infected with HIV. And then there is a certain amount of substance use as well, as you can see. So if you look at sort of the network analysis we're starting to do, this is still a little preliminary. Mainly it was friends who referred people to go test, sometimes acquaintances or strangers, but we limit the number. With response-driven sampling, you tend to limit the number of enrollment opportunities you give an individual person to limit or to expand the generalizability of it. So most people did get these cards from friends. About over half the people who did enroll did become recruiters themselves, which is good. That's the way RDS and Snowball is supposed to work. And about 46% were actually able to successfully recruit another person. So after they were recruited, they did find somebody else. We've completed a few of the 3-month follow-ups, and we're finding at follow-up about 77% had also tested again for HIV after they had been enrolled, and then They had also tested for, about half had tested for STDs. Also, at baseline, we had had a large proportion who had heard of both PEP and PrEP. But at our three-month follow-up, we're finding that due to testing, we don't know if it's due to our testing or being enrolled in the program, but we are finding that a certain amount of people have received additional health education risk reduction, some additional counseling, and some have actually received PrEP and or PrEP. So implementation, you know, we had several recruitment sites. Only one ended up working out, so we got a limited sample. We'd like to expand enrollment to some of our other organizations and try to get into some of our, the nice term is commercial sex venues, sex clubs. We'd like to go and do testing in sex clubs and bring people in to do that as well. We think we might find higher rates of potential positivity. So the conclusion is the social network approach could work. The results are a little less robust than we would like them to be. But it does tell us that we should expand testing to less traditional testing venues than the ones that we offer through our Department of Public Health, where you have to go to a clinic and you have to do this. We do have mobile testing too, but can we expand this out to other locations and other places? We're now starting to roll out HIV testing at commercial sex venues. We have done it at street events and things like that. And no one's really, not in LA County, they haven't really looked at the positivity rates of these different venues. So we have a sort of limited ability to effectively compare the recruitment strategies at this point because we had so few new positives. There's no formal intervention that was offered, and we're still collecting follow-up data. And the snowball sampling, you know, did the recruitment waves were a little more shallow than you would expect. That's it? See, I told you it was fast.
Any questions on this presentation as well? Or to any of the presenters, if anyone has any other questions?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. There are definite. It's hard to please everybody since there were so many different opinions. But we are in building this app. We decided not to use the sex diary since we got such a strong reaction. But we're doing something that has sort of a similar purpose in terms of behavioral assessments, and we're trying to use fun language, I guess, that doesn't cross that line of going into trivializing, as one of our participants said. I think that as we continue to scale up the app, we also have some functionality in there that we plan to put in the future, because apps are not static things, and if you don't add to them, people get bored. So I think that in doing the pilot testing with a larger sample, we can get a better idea of what it is that people are interested in and to see where we can go with it in the future. I think that's a really great question to really be able to do this across different apps and to use the same type of evaluation methods. We're still actually developing some of those analytics right now. It's a big part of creating the app with KeyMind at the moment for the pilot test is to make sure that we can identify afterwards, everything basically that every participant will do in the app. So not just when they, you know, fill out a survey, but also when they click on something and then they don't fill it out. And we're also going to be tracking behaviors to see the kind of impact it has on that. So are they more likely to get an HIV test during the period of time that they have this app on their phone? But I think it would be great to do more collaborations and figuring that out across.
Question back there.
I'm sure this came up in your interview, maybe the
We've actually talked about that. One of our original original wireframe images, we were talking about possibly being able to get people to share information about their testing behaviors on websites like Grindr, on apps like Grindr, but at the moment it's not really feasible to be able to do that. We haven't been able to get that kind of feedback from them. We are, however, doing some recruitment through Grindr for our next phase of the study. Hopefully in the future we'll be able to work on that a little bit more. So that's a really great point. One of the things that came up was to really use things that already exist in order to make the app as familiar to people as possible. We don't have a social networking function really in it right now. As we continue with the app and we get more funding, we're able to build up different pieces. So we're starting kind of small. But it is something that we hope to do in the future. We do have maps in there, though, and that incorporates basically Google Maps into it. So that, right now, is the only other app that we're connecting with.
I think we'll end it there. Mm-hmm. If you have more questions, you can just seek out presenters. But let's thank everyone.
Thank you.